There is a problem with celebrating Christmas every year. At least for me, it's an issue because every year people expect that the preacher is going to get up and tell them something new and tell them something fresh and is going to enlighten them on the Christmas story. Well, the issue is I looked this week and there are 180 verses in Matthew and Luke that tell us the story of the birth of Jesus, and a portion of that comes from Matthew and its genealogy. And so it really, how much new and how much fresh is there? And then, if you're like me, I love to listen to Christmas music, and so I listen to the Christmas songs, and if they're theological songs and they're telling the story of the birth of Jesus, they all tell the same story, maybe from a little bit different perspective with some different details. But again, they are the same story and they are not adding anything new. Oh, sometimes we add details to help clarify the story. Sometimes we add things that we would like to be true, things that we know to be true, but aren't necessarily stated in the story of Christmas. Then there are the songs and the stories that we tell, that we sing, that seem to embellish, not just add to, but embellish the story. And the song, or the portion of scripture that we're going to look at this morning is one of those passages that has been conflated with the passage of time. Thinking about the songs, and one of those songs is a song from the 1960s. It's a song, "Do You Know or Do You Hear What I Hear?" A song that intermingles Matthew's account and Luke's account. And so you may seem to hear a bit of Matthew's account of the visit of the Magi and Herod's desire to worship Jesus after being told about the birth of the Savior by the Magi. And you might hear parts of Luke's account of the visit of the angel to the shepherds and then their visit to Bethlehem. But if you listen and you look at the words of the song, there are several things that just don't square. Because it isn't the shepherds that go to the king. It's the Magi who are summoned to the king. Or then there are songs that go even farther back, and one of those is the song, "We Three Kings." And in this song, we find addition, we find deduction, and we find allegorization. And there's one more issue that arises or has arisen in the last couple of centuries, and that is, unfortunately, the removal of the supernatural from the realm of everything biblical, no less so the Christmas story. And I guess it's nothing new, because from the very beginning, people were claiming that there was something funny going on about Mary's pregnancy and Jesus' birth. But virginal birth wasn't even included as a possibility. But both Luke and Matthew tell us that what we have is a virgin giving birth to a son. And I've sat this week with Matthew's account of the events of the birth of Jesus and the portion of Matthew's account that we're going to look at this morning. And I've come to see that there is much there to be reminded of, even though there probably isn't anything new. And so will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 2 and follow along with the story. And noting the details of what Matthew says. And then we'll examine those together. So Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem of Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' He sent them. He sent them to Bethlehem, and they had heard the king, and after they heard the king, they went on their way to the, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And after having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." And so we have the story of the wise men. It's a story that we know because of the Christmas story. They are men we learn of only here in the Gospel of Matthew. And so there are things that we have to look to, we have to study, and we have to come to an understanding of who these men, these wise men, were. Now, if you know the King James Version, or if you know the song, it says that they were kings. In truth, they were not kings. They were, well, they were wise men. And not wise men like they had been to the finest colleges in the East and got great degrees, though they were learned men. Originally, the Magi, as the Greek will call them, the Magi, were a group of priests from the Median tribes. So when we read that the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon, the group of people that were the Medes, amongst them was a priestly group whose name was probably Magi, that just got carried over into the Greek, transliterated into Greek, and then transliterated into some of our Bibles, but also translated as different things. But it started there, and so they were worshipers. They were men who worshipped, but their worship was of all kinds of things. And by the time that we come to them, likely they are interacting in Babylon with the the wise men of Babylon, men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the other ones who were royal advisors on worshiping, but also on watching the stars and on telling of dreams. And the wise men, though they were not kings, they were men who probably, in many places, sat in the cabinet of a king. They were men to whom the kings looked and asked questions about the wisdom of the world, looking for answers. And there are those who believe that at the time of Jesus, they even held a very good sway in the naming of the kings to the east of the Roman Empire. And so, if somebody was to become king, the wise men would have to give their okay. But by the time we read about them in Matthew does not tell us where they came from. He simply says wise men from the east. And that's like sitting here in Illinois and saying somebody came from the east to visit me. Well, that gives you a lot of leeway. Where in the east did they come from? Did they come from Indianapolis? Did they come from Miami? Did they come from Kennebunkport? Did they come from Washington, D.C. or Boston or some little unheard town somewhere to the east of us? You know, maybe they came from Arthur. They came from the east. Well, we know that it probably isn't that they just came from the east of Jerusalem. They didn't come from Jericho or somewhere just across the Jordan River. That when talking about them coming from the east, it's likely that they came from Babylon or somewhere to the north of Babylon in Persia. You know, modern day Iran, modern day Iraq, modern day Pakistan. They likely came from somewhere there where their influence was the Medes and the priestly tribes, the wisdom of Babylon that was there. But to give any more certainty about them, we can't. But yet we sing the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Well, we add a lot, we make some deductions. They weren't kings. There probably were not three of them, and likely they did not ride on camels. And for certain, we do not know their names. And if you study church tradition, you find that these three wise men were later given names. And then in the Middle Ages somewhere, the church started selling indulgences, and one church claimed that they had the skulls of the three wise men. And not to be outdone, a church in another part of the Roman Empire at the time also claimed that they had the right skulls. We don't know anything about these kings or these wise men, let alone where they ended up after they visited the baby Jesus. We don't know their names. We don't know. And we know that if they came from the Babylonian or the Persian area of the east, they probably didn't come riding camels. If they had mounts of any kind, they probably were riding horses, because that's what they were known for in that area by the time of the birth of Jesus. They rode horses and they came quickly and left just as quickly. on their horses. But they were known as astronomers or astrologers. And in that time, and actually until very recently in history, astronomy and astrology, unfortunately, were tied together. If you looked at the stars and you tried to understand the nature of what was happening in the night sky, it was often because you were looking for someone or something to worship. And astronomy and astrology were one and the same. And even now, astronomy and astrology have things that cross over, though somebody who is an astronomer, while they recognize the constellations that are used by astrologers, most of them don't believe that the stars have anything to do with what happens here on Earth. But astrologers, in the day of the wise men, as they do today, believe that there were some things that you could predict and you could tell by where the stars were at a given time. And one of them was omens about the birth or the death of a king. A major victory or defeat in battle. And so when the astronomers, the wise men, saw a star, they were led to believe that it was predicting the birth of a king. And they believed that king to be the king of the Jews. Now, eventually, the Magi became known as magicians, in part because of their belief in astrology, part because of their ability to interpret dreams, or at least give people interpretations that sounded good, but also because many of them began to dabble in the occult and use the power of the occult. And so while the Magi didn't necessarily mean magician, it's where we get our root and our word magician. And in fact, there are several places in the New Testament where that is the interpretation or the word that's given. But they're wise men. They're men who studied the stars. They knew things. They could understand things. And they could put things together. And so the wise men, being astronomers and astrologers, they see up in the sky a star. A star. Now, there are some things that have been written, some things that have been said through the centuries that try to help us to understand what the star was. And one of the things that the people have tried to deduce is what is a natural phenomena that would occur that could have been deduced to be a new star by the wise men from the east. And the problem is if you read the story that Matthew gives us, the account, this thing acts nothing like any other natural phenomena that we know of. And there have been people who have tried to read and understand what the star could be and to prove different things. On the other side of it, there have been those who have disbelieved the story of Christmas, and so they have looked at the star and they have used the fact that the star doesn't act like anything we know of to say, look, your story is garbage. It's gibberish. There is no star in the sky that could rise in the west and continue to be in the west long enough for a group of astronomers to march west from somewhere in the east to Jerusalem, and then the star turns and it starts moving south to Bethlehem. You know, there are things that people have tried throughout history to say the star might have been. One of them was a supernova, a star that explodes, and for a moment in time, it is very bright. You may never have seen it before. It's very bright for a very short period of time. But the problem is if you were to go out into the night sky and happen to see a supernova, it's going to do exactly what every other star is going to do. It's going to rise in the east and set in the west because the earth rotates to the east. And so everything in the night sky moves from the east to the west. Of course, so does the sun. In the daytime, it moves from the east to the west. You ever want to know what direction north is? You sit long enough and watch the sun, and you can tell north, because the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. At night, you go out, and if you live in the northern hemisphere, there is a star that is very close to the North Pole, and we call it the North Star. And if you watch it, it very, very minutely appears to move in the sky, but the rest of the stars make a circle from east to the west. They rise in the east, they set in the west. A supernova would do just that. Another thought that people have had was that there was this great conjunction of planets, and the way that planets move, I learned a lot about planets in our night sky this week, that there is this one point in time where a group of planets will conjunct, and one of them will seem to move from the west to the east and then back to the west. But it's only because of the way the planets come together and move apart relative to the sun. And astronomers have known that before the time of Christ. They could see what was happening, and they knew it happened regularly. So that probably isn't it. We could say it was a comet, but a comet generally doesn't do what this star was said to do. You can either see it coming into the sun or coming away from the sun. When the sun hits the ice particles and illuminates the comet. And when they have a tail, it is particles of ice coming off of the comet as it gets closer to the sun and gets heated up, and the sunlight reflects, and so you see it. But generally, we only see it going in or coming out, and there again, it wouldn't do what this star was said to do. And so we can't really find a natural event, a natural phenomena that fits. Because when Matthew tells us about the star, he says, first of all, that it was visible. So the Magi are out studying the night sky. They have an astronomy club, and they get together, and they watch the night sky. And suddenly one night they say, whoa, a new star. And they notice the star. It was observable. This wasn't somebody's imagination. This is something that really happened in history. It was also distinct, because as the Magi looked to the night sky, they could identify it differently from the other heavenly bodies. You know, you go outside tonight, and if you get away from the lights of Decatur, and if the clouds go away, you look up into the sky, and you can see a whole bunch of stars. But if you look close enough and you look, you can see some one galaxy out there besides the Milky Way. And if you just see it, it looks like one star. But if you look close enough and if your eyes are trained to the dark long enough, you can begin to see that, no, it's really more than that. Now, you can't make out all of the individual stars, but here's the thing. You can see those things, and if you know what you're looking for, you can identify them, and you know where they belong. And the wise men, they knew where the stars and the galaxies in the sky belong. They studied them day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. They studied the stars, and they passed on their information to the new magi that were coming up, and they knew the stars. And there was a distinctly new star set by itself in the sky. And they could identify it differently from all of the other heavenly bodies. It was unique. It was unique. It did things that other stars hadn't done. And it was something that they had never seen before. Now, we don't know exactly what that was. It appears that the star rose in the west while they were in the east, but we can't be too dogmatic about that, because it may just say, the Greek text may simply just say that we saw, when we were in the east, we saw the star rising. We saw the new star rising. Or it may mean that while we were in the east, we saw the rising of the star. And this makes a lot more sense, because if they saw it in the east, the new star, why would they think Jerusalem, Judea? But a star that rose in the west, which stars don't do, would be new, it would be different, it would be unique, it would catch their eyes and catch their attention. But here comes the part I really want you to not miss. It evidently wasn't very bright. So when we sing starlight, star bright, you know, we talk about the bright, shining star of Christmas. It's probably wrong too. Just like there weren't three wise men, more than likely, and they weren't kings, it probably wasn't a very bright star, because here's the thing. The wise men get to Jerusalem, and Herod asks to ask the question, what star are you talking about, and when did it appear? If it had been a bright star that had suddenly appeared and everybody would notice it, Herod wouldn't have had to ask. But it took a special group of stargazers to notice that there was something different in the night sky. And before you say, well, they wouldn't have done that in Israel, in Judea, remember that the worship of Israel depended upon when the new moon rose. They were out on dark nights looking for the slightest hint of the sign of the moon beginning to reflect the light again for a new cycle of the moon. They knew what the night sky looked like. This was something different that must not have been super bright. Because even the priests, whose job it was to watch the night sky, hadn't seen it. It was very clearly a special event. Now, I'm not going to say it couldn't have been a star. I'm just saying it probably wasn't. I'm not saying that it couldn't have been a supernova, though it probably wasn't. I won't say it couldn't have been a comet. It might not have been. It might have been a unique comet, doing something that generally comets don't do, but sometimes we see various differences, but we see comets do kind of interesting things. But if it was a star, if it was a supernova, it was a comet, you know what I'm going to say? It was a supernatural event because here's the thing. God had to, from the beginning of creation, say there is a coming a day when Jesus Christ, my son, will be born in the city of Bethlehem, and I have to put this star at just the right place so at just the right time, or I have to put this comet in the sky at just the right path so that at just the right time it will come by and it will do exactly what it needs to do to lead this group of wise men to Bethlehem. You know why people look for the natural? Because they want to believe that God didn't do what the scriptures say that God does. And if it's any of those things, great, God still did something absolutely, positively unbelievable. But whatever the case, whatever God did to bring a light to the sky, he did it to proclaim the birth of his son and to bring the wise men from the east. And so I ask the question, what can we learn from the Magi? Because Matthew doesn't just put this story in here because he needed something to fill space. Okay? Matthew included the story of the Magi because these wise men are there to teach us something about God's love for us and about how we're supposed to respond. And I think that one of the things that I have learned this week as I have studied this is that natural phenomena can lead people to God. Things that happen in nature can lead people to God. Even if this is a supernatural event, it is still a natural phenomena, something that happened in space and time at a moment and was visible. And the wise men saw it. And they made a journey from the east, and scholars believe that it probably was a journey of 800 miles or more. A journey that probably would take them at least 40 days. And then you have to add in the time that it took them to get all of their things together and to get together as a group and then to decide to make the journey and to make it to Bethlehem. But they came. They came from the Orient, or the East, to worship the newborn king. And they came bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I'm sorry if you've sung the song and you think that each of these gifts stands for something special about the life of Christ. More than likely, they simply were expensive gifts that were brought to honor a king. Now, if God put it in their hearts to bring them because of the reasons that we give, you know, for worship and honor and to prepare for his burial, you know, if you want to know what those are, read the lines of We Three Kings. If God put it in their hearts that that's why they brought them, that's great. Matthew doesn't tell us that. We have to add that, to deduce that, but it isn't necessarily true. They simply came to worship the king, but they brought expensive gifts. That's what's important. They brought the expensive gifts. But natural phenomena isn't always enough. These wise men needed divine revelation. They came to Jerusalem probably because they knew the prophecies from Daniel, and they probably had heard some prophecies when the Jews were there in Babylon and the ones that remained. They probably heard some things from them about the prophecies from Balaam as Israel is getting ready to enter the promised land about a new star, a scepter rising from Judah, and that and the prophecies of Babylon, they probably put together that a king is born in Judea. And so when they see a star doing something stars don't do over Jerusalem, they said, we got to go. But they come to Jerusalem. You notice that in the text. They come to Jerusalem. Now, we all know, because we've read Luke and we've read further along in Matthew, we know where Jesus was born. It wasn't Jerusalem, wasn't it? No, it was in Bethlehem. But they stopped in Jerusalem because where would a king be born? Well, in the capital city. And since David was king, and after a period in Hebron, he moved the capital city to Jerusalem. And from that time forward, for the next 800, 900 years, people knew that Jerusalem was the capital city of Israel or Judea. So they stopped at Jerusalem, but they had to ask questions. They asked questions, where is the king of the Jews going to be born? Well, Herod didn't know. The people evidently weren't paying attention. So Herod calls the chief priests and the scribes, and he says, hey, where's this event supposed to happen? And they had to tell him from the pages of Scripture, from the minor prophets, from the prophet Micah, well, in Bethlehem of Judea. Oh. So they had to have divine revelation to find the child. But I'm also reminded that sometimes having the truth isn't enough. Because here are the wise rulers of the Jews who know the Scriptures, who are able to tell Herod where the baby is going to be born. And none of them leave Jerusalem with the wise men to worship the baby. And in fact, that 40 days or so that it took the wise men to get to Jerusalem, you know what happened in Jerusalem in that period of time? Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to Jerusalem for the purification of Mary and the dedication of Jesus. And you know what happened? Simeon prophesied. And Anna went running throughout the temple, telling everybody who would listen, the Savior has been born. You know what else happened? Some shepherds out in the field heard the angels say that the Savior was born, and they went and saw it, and they told everybody in Bethlehem and around the area. You know who should have heard? The chief priests and the scribes. You know who should have been there to worship Jesus? The chief priests and the scribes. Having the truth isn't always enough. You have to believe it and you have to act on it. There are a lot of people who hear the story of Christmas and they never act. There are a lot of people who look around and they see evidence that Jesus is the Savior, but they never act. But we are supposed to be honest and look to Jesus and look to the story of Christmas. And while we may not make $1 million journeys with $1 million gifts to worship the King, we're supposed to bring the best that we have to come and to worship baby Jesus. Let us be people who seek to worship the King, not just at Christmas, and not just with expensive gifts, but with our lives the whole year long. Let's stand and worship together.